Today was a good day. Today was a really good day, y'all. I mean, it's not like that, but fuck it. I guess I'm gonna get a little bit introspective, I guess. I can't really describe it, but it's and I don't know if it's just something that maybe children from divorced or broken homes think deal like I it, this is open to anyone. Like I mean, I guess it's open to anyone, but I think there's something, there might be something unique to the experience. But and even more so personally, because my parents separated my June, well, hey, fuck it, yeah, my j the end of my junior year, so basically the summer going into my senior year. So pretty much I would say about 92% of my upbringing was, you know, it's quote unquote standard two parent household. Now Alan, well, you know, hey, huh. Yeah, well, anyway, but I it's just the, I guess the little things, I guess we take for granted. Because I just, you know, growing up, like it was nothing. Like, you know, I talk to Alan, do whatever Alan, talk to my dad, talk to my mom. Like, you know, it was a normal day. We all live in the same roof type shit. But ever, like, it was awkward. I mean, I guess in college, you know, whenever I would come home and I'm not coming home to what I had for 92% of my upbringing. And it's, you know, I don't know. But the reason why I'm saying this is, I mentally take note of it whenever I have the opportunity to talk to my entire nuclear family, in the same day. Something that was just so routine, something you wouldn't even think about all the time or at all. Now I think about it because it's rare. It's rare that I mean, I talk with all of them, you know, enough, like, you know, for, you know, somewhat of a relationship, not the best on, you know, on all angles, but we, you know, talk enough. But I mean, you know, you could also say the relationships aren't as great as or as good because, you know, we've all gone our separate ways type shit. So it is, I don't know, but I do take note of it, and I do feel there's something to it. I don't know, and that's actually another topic that I was going to talk about a while ago, so I need to, I guess, kind of talk myself into that. See how I brought it all full circle. Cool. So yeah, talk about that. But yeah, I talked to my entire family today, so I'm in a good mood. Sorry. Anyway, a lot's been going on. There's a lot that I want to talk about. And this was, I was lazy. As a matter, I was lazy. I was supposed to record this like sometime last week. Yeah, because I don't think I've done a solo in a minute. But I postponed it and I said, no, I'll just do it during the week. And I didn't. And yeah, I just didn't get to it. So I'm back. I'm back with the solo. I'm obviously on, now that football has started and NFL is upon us, you know, I got a lot of football to talk about. I just had a little bit of football originally planned, but like now, I mean, there's a lot because, well, college football started yesterday. And well, I guess it started last week. Ain't nobody give a fuck about that shit. College football is back, and there's three teams that I care about. Well, three teams that I positively care about, and that would be the USC Trojans. That's thing, guys. I mean, it's not gonna be received well. It never has. Except for people that really, really, really know me and have known me a long time. But I've been a USC fan since, I believe it was, what, the Fiesta Bowl? And like Carson Palmer. Carson Palmer. I saw them playing Iowa, and I think it was the Fiesta Bowl, and they went the fuck off. And I was just like, I ain't never seen no shit like this before in my life. I love this shit. And then it just so happened that the next year they bring in a guy named Matt Leinart and, you know, Reggie Bush, and, you know, probably the most electrifying athlete we've ever seen in college. So, you know, sue me. I've been hooked on USC ever since. And it just kind of went hand in hand since I was already a Laker fan. Like, I feel like California was in my blood. But, you know, just I guess it just hasn't happened yet. But, and honestly, I don't really want California. Anyway, I've always been a fan of California and USC. I've been USC's number one, guys. Well, USC. This is tough because USC was number one for a really, really long time, but there was a period like 15, but like from 2015 to 2018, 19, like, oh yeah, I'm paying attention to what USC doing, but whatever. It is what it is. I mean, I was a fan in name only. I wasn't really invested, but I got time in. I got credit. You know what I mean? And like, I didn't really change allegiances. I mean, yeah, I didn't play for USC or go to USC because, you know, that wasn't really an opportunity. So, you know, UTSA, I love UTSA. I went to UTSA. So, you know, I root for them. I root for them. You know, they have those, you know, it's, you know, why not? You know, yeah, I root for them. I root for them. Yeah, go Runners. And then the fucking University of Colorado. I remember when Deion Sanders first, when it was announced that he was going to Jackson State, and I was like, oh, yeah, no, we out of here. We out of here. Like, that Jackson State is about to be, like, they might fuck around and, like, in some non-conference, like, play some fucking Power Fives. Like, that's what I was thinking. Like, I was just thinking, like, Deion was going to be just revolutionized HBCU football and everything. And obviously, he was talking like that, and, you know, I mean, Deion just has a way with words, man. He has a way with words, and I mean, he's captivating. He's captivating. I mean, I thought that he was going to pretty much bring, which he, I mean, he essentially did for, you know, 2 years for Jackson State, but I thought he was going to completely raise the level of the SWAC, MEAC, the HBCUs and everything, as far as football is concerned, because I was always ask myself, I'm just like, okay, if a majority of the teams are black, a majority of the best players are black, why aren't the HBCUs the best schools? Like, that was the question I always asked myself when I was younger. And now it sounds like people are starting to continue to ask that question and people are doing something about it. So I thought Deion was going to be, I thought he was going to be the Nick Saban of the SWAC. And, I mean, again, you can make the case that he was. He just doesn't really have the time in. But when he flipped Travis Hunter from his alma mater, Florida State, I was like, okay, this might be something. Because, like, yeah, he brought Shadur with him. And, you know, obviously he brought in a couple of other guys. But, you know, ain't nobody was really, you know, paying attention like that for real. They were winning games. But we just assumed, like, yeah, Deion's going to be able to bring, like, he should be able to get some guys. I think it's very easy for Deion Sanders to recruit. It's very easy for Deion Sanders. Honestly, it was the resources that Jackson State was able to afford him. Outside of that, I don't think Nick Saban's beating Deion Sanders to get any recruit. Well, okay, I guess I shouldn't say any. Non-Caucasian recruits. I think he got them on lock. But he can still get the Caucasian. Don't get it twisted. Like, you know what I'm saying? But like, I don't think he could. Deion Sanders walk into your living room, unless the dad was a fucking Falcons fan or some shit, or a fucking Hurricane fan or something, then, I mean, it may be rough. But then again, I mean, these guys don't have dads. So, I mean, Deion Sanders, he was killing it. He was fucking killing it. And then he decided to move on. He goes to Colorado. And a lot of people questioned what it was he was doing and everything, you know, completely turning over the team. And they were still, you know, rating them as the 1-11 team that Colorado put out there last year. And I said before on this podcast, the second that he signed, that they were going to beat TCU. And sure enough, Deion did his part. I didn't do my part to prove that he was right. I didn't believe. So I got what I deserved. But during that Colorado game, Colorado versus TCU, I'm watching it and I'm in awe. I'm in awe at two things. First off, Shadur. See, this is what happens whenever you tell the truth. Shadur had a great game. Don't get me wrong. And there's nothing, like, you can't look at what he did and say, like, you know, he had a bad game in any way, shape, or form. And obviously, like, he had some bombs. But early in the game, and, you know, receivers didn't help him out. There were some drops, but there was a couple of times he underthrew Travis Hunter, and like Travis Hunter could have had one of the biggest games in the history of college football. We'll get to Travis. But Shadur, in my opinion, in the first half, I saw a lot of checkdowns. Now, obviously, he, you know, took his shots and when needed and everything, but from the perspective that I was watching the game with at that time, it looked like he wasn't really making an effort to go through reads Cause it looked like they, it looked like all check downs outside of your occasional, like, hey, Travis got this nigga beat, Xavier got this nigga beat, Jimmy got this nigga beat, we gonna take a shot. And I mean, look, there's nothing wrong with playing that way. That's you know, that's how you keep your completion percentage up in Madden. Like, hey, I get it, I get it. But also getting into that, you know, that's how the perspective I had when I was watching the game. After the fact, I was able to look at it and be like, you know what? That offensive line and defensive line didn't really perform well, but this isn't, that offensive line didn't really do that great per se. Because, I mean, they had, what, 50, I think 54 rushing yards. Well, really, like 90-something rushing yards, but in college, every time Shadur is sacked or takes a loss or, you know, anything like that, it negatively impacts his rushing yards personally and the team's rushing yards. So I think they ended the game with like 54 rushing yards. But if you remove that fucking dumb shit, because they don't do that in the NFL, I don't understand why they do that shit in college. But if you remove that dumb shit, then they had about 90 yards rushing. It's tough to win a game when you have 90 yards rushing. It is very tough to win a game when you have a combined 90 yards rushing. Because there's a lot of things that running the ball does. And running the ball is, I mean, you know, you can win a lot of games, obviously, by throwing the ball. And if I was an OC, and I mean, shit, personally, as a retired offensive lineman or whatever, fuck. Like, I much rather want to pass. Hey, let's air that bitch out 75 times. I don't ever want to run power. I don't ever want to do that shit. Like, yeah, we'll do it. I fuck 44 ISO. Fuck 14 power, 15 power, 12, 13 peel. Fuck all them shits. I want 60 and 70 and whatever mumbo jumbo you say after that shit. Rip, Liz, Ray, Lee. I want that shit. Give me that shit and let's have a blast. Hey, and honestly, it, I mean, outside of the, like, yeah, the running backs might not like that shit at all, but like, nigga, catch a pass. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, when we play that way, airing it out, you have more people that are weapons. Everybody's a part of the game. I just want everybody to be involved. I feel like Magic Johnson in this bitch. Okay. Anyway. Let's gather ourselves. Where the fuck was I at? Yeah. That would explain what, in my opinion, and you know, maybe you watched the game and saw it completely different, but that would explain the abundance of checkdowns that Shadur was taking throughout that game. But they, I'm not even like they. He said it. He said it, and it's been said. Like they didn't. Y'all, this was his first fucking FBS game. Think what you want. Honestly, I don't think that highly of TCU, which is the reason why I called it in December that Colorado was going to beat them. I didn't even know Colorado was 1-11. I just knew, yeah, whatever. Like, Deion Sanders going to change that shit. Like, they beating TCU. I don't believe in this TCU team. The fact that they went undefeated, like, blows my fucking, well, undefeated until that point or whatever, and then they lost to Kansas State. What, that blows my mind even fucking more. This team played in the national championship game, and they lost their, they didn't win their conference. Like, yeah, I know they were undefeated beforehand and everything, and yeah, it works out, and mumbo jumbo and all that bullshit, but like, that's crazy. And then they got, like, I never respected, respectfully, I know some people that went to TCU and even worked there, but I never believed in TCU as being a legitimate contender last year. Like, the fact that, I forgot multiple times throughout the year that they were undefeated. I forgot they existed. And they're like, oh yeah, number three in the nation. Like, yeah, undefeated. I'm like, yeah, okay, yeah, whatever. UTSA doing their thing. But this TCU team, honestly, I think is realistically probably 8-4, 8-4, 7-5, 9-3, that range. Like, it's not that great of a team. Like, this is a big win right now today for Colorado. But and when we look back in a couple of weeks, we're gonna be like, oh yeah. Anyways, like honestly, like how I felt when UTSA played Illinois a couple of years ago and beat Illinois. I mean, and those guys definitely understand why they're excited and everything. But the fans are acting like we just shocked the world. I'm just like, Illinois is a mid Big Ten team. What do you really think about your university? Like, what do you really think about UTSA? They can't beat a mid Big Ten team? Like, come on, dog. Like, yeah, the cream of the crop. Like, we might struggle against Ohio State. We might struggle against Penn State. You know what? Michigan, you know what? We might struggle. I ain't going to say we lose, but we might struggle. With the past two teams for UTSA? Hey, look. Hey, let's line it up. Yeah, I might sound like Rashad McCants. I don't give a fuck. Let's line it up. Let's just see what happens. But playing against these fucking mid-air Illinois and Purdue, Vanderbilt's the SEC team, y'all. Like, what are we talking about? Fucking Arizona State, they've been mid for the past couple of years. Like, guys, like, it's the cream of the crops, and then everybody else. And guess what? The group of fives can beat everybody else's. Everybody, and like on rare occasions, they can compete with those Alabamas and Floridas and things like that. But look, Shadur's first fucking game, dog. 510. He has every right, and Dion and all of them to talk they shit. I was concerned. I was very much concerned. I've been watching the videos that his son puts up. I'm a Colorado fucking fan. Like, I was watching that game, and I'm over here fucking seeing the players and the coaches and the trainers and everything on the sideline, and I'm like, oh shit, that's them. Like I know these people for real. Like that, like, nigga, these videos, like that, it's Deion Sanders Jr., he's doing something. He's doing something, and I'm happy for him. I'm happy for him. And YouTube, Well Off Media. Like, it's look, man. If you haven't, go ahead, go to YouTube, Well Off Media. Just watch you 2-3 of them videos and tell me you're not a fan of what Colorado's doing. You're not a fan of Deion Sanders. You're not a fan of the family. And, like, they got it and they didn't because they did a fucking reality show back when they was younger. So Shadur, Shiloh, like, all them, like, they used to that shit. They're characters, and the whole team is characters. And honestly, I just don't understand. And maybe other schools do things like this, but I don't know. Maybe they do, and I'm just unaware of it because I don't give a fuck. But, like, this, I think every school needs to have what Colorado has in Deion Sanders Jr. with what he's doing with Well Off Media. Anyway, still talking about Colorado, I guess. I have to talk about Travis Hunter. And I don't think I finished on Shadur, but fuck it, whatever. I didn't believe. I didn't believe. More than the story, I didn't believe. But Travis Hunter, again, I didn't believe. Like, oh, yeah, he's a five-star. He's the number one recruit in the nation. I was like, okay, cool. But, like, you know, yeah, he's number one, but there's a lot of five-stars. Like, there's probably, like, 20, 25 other guys that were five-stars. Like, you know, so what are we really talking about? All right, he's the best. Okay, sure. But we've also seen every year where, you know, like, guys come from everywhere. If you do the work and if you him, you him. Like, it don't matter with them stars and all that shit. It don't fucking matter. And I saw what he did at Jackson State. I heard the rumors that he plays both ways. He goes offense. He goes receiver and corner. And, like, he did that in high school and everything. But, like, that sounded good. But I'm just like, but is he really doing it both ways? And I see what he did in high school. But I'm just like, okay. I mean, that's high school. Like, I mean, I know, like, we know people can do that in high school. Now, he did it to a very high level, but, like, yeah, okay, whatever. But is he really going to do this in the NFL? I mean, in the NFL. I would love to see that. But is he really going to do this in college? And when he was at Jackson State, like, I was like, okay, I guess that's just the allure. Deion sold him on being the next Deion. And he's like, yeah, you know, I played a little receiver in the NFL, and you got the tools, and you did it in high school, and, you know, I'll give you the opportunity. These other schools, they're probably not going to give you the opportunity, which probably is exactly what Deion said. Nick Saban don't want to fuck around. He ain't going to dick around. Nick Saban would have had that nigga playing. He would have had that nigga being the greatest corner or greatest receiver game ever seen. But no, you're not doing both. Not doing because Nick Saban got that old mentality. But, you know, at Deion Sanders, not only did he actually do the shit, and like Shadur said, got a gold jacket doing the shit, he can just kind of communicate that. And he's open to the possibility of allowing that to happen. But I look at Travis Hunter's production at Jackson State, and I was like, I mean, yeah, he played, but he also missed a lot of time. Like, honestly, I was watching, like, I've been watching the Well Off Media videos for a minute. And a lot of those videos at Jackson last season, like, he wasn't even practicing. So I'm like, what's up with this dude? Is this dude just injury prone? And when he's on the field, like, I'm expecting, like, you the number one recruit in the nation. You five-star. Like, I mean, we all... or most, the general perception of the SWAC and HBCUs is it's lower level competition. So if you plant a FBS Power 5 five-star on the field, yeah, he's 18. So, you know, maybe he shouldn't fucking, you know, just have 500 yards a game and 8 interceptions. Okay, I'll give you that. Like, he's not fucking Adrian Peterson. He still had the body of an 18-year-old. But he didn't really flash. Like, now in that Celebration Bowl, like, he flashed, but I don't recall him playing much defense in that game. Like, yeah, he played it, but it didn't seem like he was legit. Like, nah, I'm a corner and receiver type shit. And because I wasn't really bought in. I was thinking, like, because Deion Sanders, yeah, again, he played receiver in the NFL, but, like, look at his stats. Like, did he, like, I mean, like, he ran routes, he caught passes, but, like, that's like saying Deebo Samuel's a running back. You know what I mean? Like, eh, okay, sure, he played receiver. I thought it was going to be like that for Travis Hunter. Boy, was I wrong. But I had reason to think this. Don't, like, let me get it out. Let me get it out. I had reason to think this. Again, I watch the videos every day. During damn near all of camp, like, you see Travis in all the videos and everything, but whenever it's actually like he's getting a rep in or something like that, you very rarely saw him. You very rarely saw him. The only times you did see him is when he was doing something great. So I'm just over here just like, all right, dog. Like, first of all, I completely understand guys being better in practice than they are in the game. I saw it all the time. But do is are you this has to be marketing. Like, obviously you're not going to show us when he fucks up or when he does something bad or anything like that, but like you're not showing much. It's every now and again we see Travis make a spectacular catch or something. I'm just like, okay, but the problem those didn't stand out because we saw spectacular catches and like good plays every day in the videos just by other people. It was very, very rarely Travis. And then this week coming up to the game, he didn't practice. Like, he did not practice on the end Tuesday, or at least, you know, I'll say this, the footage they put out, maybe they do that intentionally. Then after he shoots the video, he goes into the locker room, changes and all, like, yeah, sure, let's get that fucking crazy. So I'm just gonna go with what I think happened, but yeah, sure, it's possible. Sure, okay, I'll say it. It's possible. He didn't appear to practice on Tuesday, didn't appear to practice on Wednesday, but was dressed out on Thursday. And I'm just like, damn, they treating this nigga like he like a like they like he in the league. Like, 'cause like I understand some guys in the league, like, okay, yeah, no, like I'll do walkthroughs and, you know, other shit, yada yada yada. Like, okay, like quarterbacks typically do shit like that and whatever. But I'm just like, they letting this nigga do this shit in college? This nigga must be okay. Let me see what's going on. Let me see what's going on. And then, you know, they're talking about it and everything. Like, yeah, Travis, you know, he's gonna be our he's our number one corner. And honestly, again, based off the videos, there was a lot of the time that you forget this nigga even played defense. They didn't even show him do defense. Like, in a majority of videos, he was just doing everything offense. So I'm like, oh, okay, I guess they decided that he's just gonna be a receiver now. If that's the impression you would get, like, you had to look it up and be like, no, they say he can play corner too. Oh, okay, all right. So I'm looking at this. I'm seeing how he's being treated. The relationship that he obviously has with Dion and everything. I'm like, okay. You're saying he can be the wide receiver one and the number one corner. I thought that that was going to be Cormani's role, but Cormani, I guess, is getting redshirted. I don't know. Okay, you say he can be the number one corner and the number one receiver. This ain't high school, Dion. I don't know. I mean, yeah, you did it, but like he didn't. Dion didn't do that shit in college, and if he did, they ain't got none of his fucking offensive stats nowhere to be found. I looked. They got everything he did on defense and baseball. I don't see a single offensive stat taken. But somehow you get to the end, like that's that bullshit again. You get to a higher level of competition, do some shit you ain't never did before. But okay, game starts. Travis Hunter. He's out there. He's playing corner. He's doing the best he can. He's locking some guys up. There's a couple of times he got, well, I mean, I guess on the stats, they said he didn't get beat. I think they said he defended all passes or whatever the fuck. But there's a couple of times like, oh, well, hey, like he dropped the ball. There was like, you know, he was open or whatever, but he went another way with it. So I was like, okay, well, he ain't fucking, you know, fucking Darrelle Revis or whatever, Dion. But then again, I can't say Deion because I wasn't old enough to watch Deion like that. I thought it was a mega deal when Deion Sanders decided to sign with the Ravens in 04 or 05 or whatever that was. I remember getting that mad and being so excited to play with a 38-year-old Deion Sanders and not knowing why. I was excited and I didn't know why. Anyway, Travis Hunter gets out here. I see him at receiver and I'm just like, okay, he's running a lot of routes. He's very, very active in this offense. And the thing, they got quite a few receivers. So I'm just like, okay, he's kind of doing a lot. He got three catches. Oh, okay, four catches. Oh, five, six. Seven. Oh, okay. He's playing offense for real. And then on defense, he single-handed. Like, he, I mean, you can make the case he won the game. If you think about it, you can make the case that he single-handedly won the game. As great as Shadur was and everybody else was, he single-handedly won the game. Because when TCU broke for that long run, like 70 yards, whatever the fuck, Travis and Shiloh ran him down and stopped him. And then on that same drive, Travis got the interception, so stopped them from getting points. And if they get a field goal on that drive, the final score is 3 points. If they score a touchdown, that might have changed the whole dynamic of what Colorado was doing in those last 55 seconds. Hell, what TCU was doing the drive before. In my personal opinion, I think it was the block kick that changed the game for TCU. That guy that picked up the ball, he just fell. Yeah, I understand you're moving fast and everything and all that. And I'm not saying I would have been able to do it. I'm just saying if he was just a little bit of a better athlete, he scoops and scores, and that changes the entire dynamic of that game much earlier than what I'm talking about. What Travis in with? I think 10, 11 catches, 119, pretty much a yard for every fucking down he played, an interception, tackles. What Travis Hunter did, and I don't want to get too carried away because I don't think that highly of TCU. What Travis Hunter did, I ain't never seen no shit like that before. The last time I had this feeling in college, with Patrick Mahomes in what, 2017, 2018, I ain't never seen no shit like that before in my life. I knew that he had it in him. He was on my fantasy team. Shout out to Pat Mahomes, champions in all my leagues that year. But I ain't never seen no shit like that before. And since then, we ain't never seen no shit like what Patrick Mahomes been doing. Joe Burrow with LSU, we ain't never seen no shit like that. But then again, he had Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase and a whole bunch of other weapons. Tyrann Mathieu back in the day, I ain't never seen no shit like that before in my life. Johnny Manziel, never seen no shit like that before in my life. Yeah, I seen Michael Vick, but with Johnny's white. like I said, I ain't never seen no shit like that before in my life. It's just different. It's just di like look, if Travis Hunter was white, his NID, nigga, his NIL deal is a B. Oh my God. And that's what I love. Yeah, I know I'm all over the place right now, but this is something I've been thinking about and I really want to say. I hope that, first of all, Travis Hunter continues to do this and is able to do this at a high level. And I hope that this inspires the next generation and allows coaches to see that it's possible. Because and now look, now okay, let's I guess talk about the let's be humanity. Let's what, humanity. Let's have some humanity, some empathy, whatever, for a second. I think Travis played 120 snaps, 129 snaps on Saturday. Now see, personally, as an offensive lineman or a former offensive lineman, I always thought it was funny that outside of the quarterback, everybody else rotates on the field. Everybody on offense and defense, everybody rotates except for the quarterback and the offensive line. And honestly, in some situations, the quarterback, the offensive line typically is always has the most snaps for the offense. Always. Now, again, I understand. Oh, with the receivers, they're running and they're going deep and da, 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 da. Okay, sure. I get it. I understand why they don't play as many snaps. Sure. But that just goes to what Travis Hunter did. That's fucking insane. I ain't never seen no shit like this before in my life. Like, again, like, oh, playing 67, 80 snaps. Like, okay, yeah, that's a lot of fucking snaps, but hey, fuck it. Shrimp life. This nigga was running routes, catching passes, making plays on offense, and locking down multiple different receivers, had an interception. I chasing down a nigga for 70, 80. I ain't never seen no shit like this before in my life. Apparently, Chad Bailey did this shit. I heard, Charles Woodson went both ways, but I looked up his shit. No, you didn't, nigga. I mean, he did. My fault, respect. He did, but like, again, it's one game. It's one game. But if Travis Hunter can be a 1,000-yard receiver this season and still an all conference corner, Nick, man, I ain't never seen no shit like this before in my life. Again, I heard Champ Bailey did it. He played receiver, was all conference and all American and everything at corner. But he also, like, he really did play the shit. He had like 744 yards, something like that. I forgot how many touchdowns or whatever, but he, like, he was out there for real. I think he might have led the team in receptions or receiving yards that year. So I was like, okay, all right, bet. All right. And you was all American or whatever at corner. All right, you did the shit. I just didn't see it. So I guess this isn't new, but it's new for this era. And if Travis is able to, because Xavier Weaver, he really surprised me. I thought a lot of these niggas, I thought they was just all talk. But the numbers back then, I think Jimmy had a very, very, very quiet game. I was very disappointed in Jimmy watching the game. Then afterwards, I look at Jimmy Horn Jr. and I look at his actual numbers and I'm just like, ain't no fucking way. Nah, hell nah. This some 2020 election shit. Ain't no fucking way. He had how many yards? I saw the touchdown. I remember the touchdown. That was a big touchdown. Probably like 30, 40 yards on that play alone. I was like, this nigga Jimmy damn near led the team in y'all. And that was, in my opinion, a quiet, oh, man, they got some weapons. And then, again, you got Travis Hunter just being Travis Hunter. Look, man, that's crazy. Then I don't think, I want to be wrong. I just cannot, I don't know how this holds. I don't know how he's able to play 100 fucking downs per game, if not more. That's crazy, man. Shout out to fucking Travis Hunter, man. That's insane. I did not see that at Jackson. Shadur, I just saw, like, okay, fine. He's just beating up. He has the best receivers because, again, Deion was bringing in receivers. Like, and I think some of those guys actually stayed. So, shout out to Jackson State. But I was infinitely more impressed with Travis Hunter, like, as I'm sure everybody else was. And you know what? I wasn't even going to talk about this, but I need to fucking shout out Dylan Edwards, the running back number 3. That was in fucking sane. His first game as a freshman, 4 touchdowns, and I ain't going to lie to you. I just knew he was going to be redshirted. When I saw he was getting on the plane, I was like, "What the fuck? What the fuck? He's with the ones for real." He shows up all the time in practice, but in my mind, when I'm watching that, I'm just like, oh, well, the defense is just ass. And that more or less remains a valid possibility, valid critique. But, man, I'm excited. I'm excited for what this season has to hold. With the Colorado Buffalo. Dylan. That was crazy. That was crazy, man. I thought he was too small. Honestly, I thought he was too small. And the O-line wasn't performing well, but and he got hurt early in the game and came back and was like, nah, fuck it, shrimp life. Man. That was just one of them games that no matter what, Colorado was going to win. Man, that was a great game. All right. Now I have to talk about UTSA. So I don't know if, well, it seems, and, you know, this is overreaction to week 1. But it seems the loss of Zachary Franklin is much, 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 much heavier than what I originally anticipated. And I thought it would be a problem. But at the same time, you know, I stopped thinking about how much of a problem it was and just how mad I was that Zachary was, like, you know, transferring to Ole Miss, especially because, like, that's my dog, Lane Kiffin. But I was very upset about that. So imagine how much more upset I was once I found out Zachary didn't even play for Ole Miss this past Saturday. I think he's hurt or something. I don't know what's going on. But if he is hurt, we'll get well soon, Zachary. But And you know, I did hear a little bit of a possible backstory reason as to why he ended up making the decision that he made to go to Ole Miss, and I can definitely understand it with some more information. So, all right. But the dominance wasn't there. It wasn't there from at any point was the dominance there. Like last year and again. I know they played last year. I know they lost last year, but after that, they were in damn near every game except the bowl game dominant. Like almost from rip. Almost from like there was at no game, and obviously the record does prove it, but like at no game am I looking and I'm just like, hey man, I don't know, that might be a problem. Like, no, I was picking us to go undefeated every year. Like, I was picking us to beat Texas now, and we were there. We were there until it all unraveled in the third quarter. But I went into this game numb. I went into this game kind of on autopilot. I just kind of took it for granted. I just thought it was a foregone conclusion that we were going to beat U of H. And I'm going to take accountability for that. That's my fault. Yes, this is my fault. Well, Michael, how is it your fault? You literally, quite literally, had absolutely nothing to do with it. Well, I'll tell you how it was my fault. First of all, I'm a narcissist. Second of all, I'm pretty sure I've told this story before. All right, so sorry about that. Ran into some technical issues. Where exactly was I? I believe I was talking about me being a narcissist. Yeah, so UTSA, I thought I could put them on autopilot, and kind of similar to the 08 finals. Now you might be wondering, what do I have to do with the 08 finals? Well, the Lakers made it to the NBA Finals. I'm pretty sure I've told the story before on the pod, but you know, new people are starting to listen all the time, so I guess for the time being, I guess it's okay to repeat some stories. So my freshman year of high school, my church, every year my church would go to this camp in Missouri, Kids Across America, and it was a real big deal. People loved it, and I had never gone. I wasn't never old enough, but I was finally old enough. I think you had to be like 14 or some shit like that, 14, 15, whatever the fuck. So I was finally old enough. So I was like, all right, cool, bet. So my mom there asked me, hey, you want to go to KAA? And I'm like, hell yeah, I want to go to KAA, but you got to like tell them and register and everything like 4 or 5 months in advance. So I'm like, hell yeah, I want to go. Well, but I did tell my mom, I was like, well, I mean, there's an outside chance that the Lakers could be in the finals, and like, you know, that would, you know, Kobe's back in the finals. And I mean, this is 08 at this time, so like, you know, I haven't seen Kobe in the finals in quite some time, especially without Shaq. So, you know, we're trying to see, like, hey, can he get it done without him? You know, is he really that guy? Like, you know, we're still living in that bullshit world. And I saw game one. They busted our ass. Well, they didn't really bust ass. It was the Paul Pierce bullshit. Then there was game two. Now, I was concerned about that series because the Lakers hadn't beat them all season. And at the time, the Celtics Big Three was just like we had never, well, we'd seen things like it, but just I guess our generation coming up, we ain't never seen no shit like that. So we just thought it was OD. And I was very much concerned, but I was like, well, I mean, they haven't beat them yet, but I mean, they got to do it to win a championship. I believe the Lakers are going to win, so we got to figure something out. Game two comes around, and the Celtics are busting their ass again, but the Lakers make a ferocious comeback. And this game two is very significant for me because that was the last game of the series I saw until game six. So, the camp's a week. That was a Sunday. My mom and dad are trying to get us up to the church so we can get on the bus because the bus leaves at midnight because we take a bus up there to Branson. It was like a fucking 15-hour drive or some shit. And, I'm like, hey, just hold on, just hold on, just hold on, because this game is still going, the game is still going, the game is still going, and the Lakers are starting to come back. So I was like, all right, no, hold on, hold on. I got to see this. I got to be a part of this. You know what I'm saying? Hey, they need my energy. They need my eyes. I got to be here for my squad. So I was there for them, but they still lost. Ferocious comeback, like 40-something points in the fourth quarter. Like, shit was crazy. But I was encouraged. I was like, okay, they're about to figure something out. You know, when they're about to go back home, and they're going to do what they do. All right, I'm going to be gone for a week. So that means I'm gonna be gone for three games. Kobe, I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you. I gotta be away for a minute. I'm leaving. Balls in your court, man. And the thing that sucked about it when we were at the camp, I didn't have access to phones or anything like that. It was completely off the grid. So I had no idea what was going on, but I just steadfast and believed that Kobe and the Lakers were gonna do what needed to be done. Well, Side note, while I'm at the camp, I mean, it's a summer camp, and I mean, I grew up pretty privileged, so the bathroom accommodations were not to my liking. With that being said, I did not take a shit that entire week. That's a lie. I took one shit, but I took one shit because my stomach was so backed up. I was like, it was getting real bad. I had to go to the nurse, and when I went to the nurse, they gave me my phone. And I was like, oh shit, we in this bitch. And it's like Saturday. It's like Friday or Saturday at this point. I've been here like 4 or 5 days. So I'm like, all right, shit, let me see what's going on. Let me see what's up with the series. I look up, I see Lakers win game three. I was like, all right, bet. Yeah, I knew we'd be all right. So 1-2. And then I keep scrolling. I see the Lakers lost game four. And I was like, what? And then I'm seeing in the manner of which they lost, and I'm reading all the articles and everything, and the ESPN app on my fucking Razer. Oh, I thought that was the liveest shit in the world, or at website or whatever the fuck it was. I thought that was the liveest shit in the world, and I'm looking at all the articles, JL Donde and fucking damn, I forgot her name. Damn, sorry, but just all these people just writing articles about what's been going on in the series, and I see the Lakers blew a like a 30-point lead or 20-something point lead in game four. I'm devastated. I'm looking at that and I'm already like feeling awful, like physically, because I've been holding in these shits and I've been eating like a king. The food was amazing, so it was a very bad, very, very, very bad combination. But I'm physically hurting, and I'm mentally and spiritually broken. I didn't. I still really haven't recovered from that game four. And the only good thing is I didn't see it. That's the only good thing. That game five was that next Sunday. We were on the way back home, so I was able to have my phone and I'm tracking along the entire way. And the Lakers were able to win that game five. So I was like, all right, see, now that my eyes and I'm back engaged and in tune with it and everything, they're back doing what it is they're supposed to do. So I'm like, all right, yeah, bet. Well, that series ended up not going the Lakers' way, and I hold myself personally accountable because I wasn't there for my team. Very similar, long, long, long-winded way of me saying that I did the same shit with UTSA. Again, I might have said that a second ago. I don't remember. I had the technical issues, and honestly, I'm recording the second part on a different day, and I might have to figure out how to fucking like split these up because they changed the. Yeah, I'm just telling y'all shit right now. But like, whenever I'm editing and uploading everything, it used to be very simple, but they made things like awkward. So I might have to break this up into a part one and part two, and it's just going to be an abrupt ending to that part one. So hopefully, I don't have to do that, and I'm able to sync these files. But yeah. I know it's possible. It's just, it's different from what it was before. It's much, much, much simpler before. Actually, no, it was harder before, but I was used to it. So, I don't like change. I don't like those changes. I will no longer be on autopilot for UTSA. We have Texas State this week. Huge game. And you know what really sucks about the game is it's a rivalry game. But I would have, this is crazy to say, but I would have preferred if Texas State would have gotten one already, because that way it would be like a real rivalry. And I mean, like, it's still going to be a rivalry in name, but whenever, because I mean, you got to expect, I mean, at some point in time, at some point in the future, Texas State's got to get one. But it's just having to stomach that one is what's gonna that's what's gonna hurt. Having to stomach once you get past that one, it's like, all right, cool. Ohio State wins, Michigan wins, USC wins, UCLA wins, Auburn wins, LA. It just happens. That's what happens in rivalries. But that first one, that's gonna be a tough pill to swallow. And if anything, I think it puts more pressure on UTSA just knowing the history and knowing what's on the line. Like, you don't want to be the first team to lose to Texas State. And if you're Texas State, you definitely want to be the first team to beat UTSA. So yeah, that's tough. And they definitely play as close. They definitely play as much closer than you think they should based off of how our seasons typically go. But this is apparently a new Texas State team. They got GJ Keene. I remember him at Tulsa. I used to play with him on NCAA. I was like, damn, who the fuck is this nigga? Like, all right, like I like cause you know like I always did like you know the USC's and all like the major schools, but I wanted to challenge sometimes. So Tulsa was one of the schools I would pick whenever I wanted to challenge. So I actually played a lot with JG Keene, and funny to see it all come full circle, and now he's possibly has turned around the Texas State program. So very interesting to see. Very, very, very interesting to see. So I don't remember if I talked about Burning Man when I was doing this earlier. I guess when I go back and listen as I'm editing and uploading, I'll see if I did or didn't. And if I did, then obviously there's no need for me to talk about it right now. And if I didn't, then I'll probably bring that. I'm gonna have to double up this week because there's other things I want to do. Football's back, so I'm back to giving my picks, what I'm looking at now. A lot of y'all are doing season-long fantasy, but if you'd like to venture into daily fantasy, that's where most of my fantasy talk is gonna be coming from. And last year, we did we do good on the system last year, or was it the year before that? Regardless, I'm gonna be giving my football picks, NFL picks. I might focus a little bit more on college this year. I might do a little bit more college, but I'm typically just an NFL guy. But I do want to share this with y'all. This was something I already had prepared, and hopefully I did not talk about this before. I have no idea what I talked about in that last, and it's weird because like you're just listening to all this. If I'm able to figure it out, you're listening to this all in one episode, but hey, this is gonna be difficult to get out to y'all. We'll figure it out. On Time Productions. All right, so I want to talk to y'all real quick about some player props. I feel like I did this. No, I didn't. I didn't. Fuck it. We'll do it again. Fuck it. Fuck it. We're doing it again. We're doing it again. We're doing it again. All right, so I'm giving out a couple of player props. This is something different. I didn't do it last year. Player props on things that I think are a good probability and things that you could possibly take advantage of if you are a gambling person. So just want to share a couple. I think I've already shared the Justin Fields one. Justin Fields currently, and this could have moved because I mean we're getting closer to the season, but last one I checked, Justin Fields, his total touchdowns in the season, so that's passing and rushing. I guess we can't say total because he might fuck around and get a receiving touchdown. You never know when what they do with these types of quarterbacks. Justin Fields is projected to have 25 and a half touchdowns, or that's where his line is. I think that he can easily have 30 touchdowns this season. I think he had about total touchdowns. I think he had like 20. I think he had 25 last season, if I remember correctly. I think he threw 17 and ran for 8, I believe. But now he has DJ Moore, a solid number one receiver, a real life number one receiver, something he has not had since Ohio State. They picked up, Chase Claypool can now move over to his real role as the number two or more of a slot guy. And then I still like Darnell Mooney, his speed. Equanimeous St. Brown, I think he's capable. Cole Kmet has proven to be a decent target. He might actually, I mean, it's not really saying much, but he might be a top five tight end when it comes to fantasy. I think the weapons are there. And I mean, we just saw what he was able to do last year. And I think he's just going to take that standard progression along with having more weapons. So I think that's an easy over. I'm taking the over on that one. Next up, Derrick Henry, 9.5 rushing touchdowns. I think I can see him having 12. I cross-reference this with what they've been doing for a while, and then just gave, I there was a lot of factors that I looked into when I was doing my projections. But one thing that is a major factor that I think for Derrick Henry, which I think should open him up to get over that 9.5 rushing touchdowns, I believe it's either going to be Will Levis or Malik Willis. I don't think Ryan Tannehill's the starter. I'm pretty sure he's still there, but I think they gave up on Ryan Tannehill. Even if they didn't give up on Ryan Tannehill, regardless, quarterback play for Tennessee, not going to be that good. We know that because, well, their offense has been Derrick Henry for quite some time. And, I mean, they traded A.J. Brown. That shows you how much, like, yeah, fuck it. We're just going to run the ball 400 times a game. Now, they did bring in DeAndre Hopkins, so, to help out that young quarterback, or just mid quarterback in Ryan Tannehill. You have a great running game, or you have a great running back, and then you bring in DeAndre Hopkins. So yeah, you can put nine in the box to try to stop Derrick Henry, but then you're leaving DeAndre Hopkins possibly in a one-on-one. And I mean, DeAndre Hopkins has been proven to be successful with equivalent or even worse quarterback play than he's going to get this season with the Tennessee Titans. And honestly, I was very much confused when he decided to sign with Tennessee. But then I remembered, I mean, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure Tennessee doesn't have state tax. So I guess we see what it's all about for DeAndre Hopkins. Aaron Jones, Aaron Jones, running back for the Green Bay Packers. He's projected for 5.5 rushing touchdowns. I think he should easily break that. Some of the similar types of things. He has a young quarterback in Jordan Love, so you know you want to take it easy with him. So you want to – I think he's going to get a lot of checkdowns, and obviously that doesn't mean anything as far as rushing touchdowns. But I do think he's going to be the guy for this offense. And I think seven – I think seven rushdowns is very, 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 very doable. Very doable for I think they're going to shift. I don't know what their actual percentages were last year, but if I had to guess, they were probably more of a passing team just because they had Aaron Rodgers. Now, don't get me wrong. Obviously, they use A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones, but I think that they – well, actually, I think last year they didn't. They probably didn't throw as much because it was just a year. But outside of that last season in Green Bay, they typically throw the ball a lot, which is why Aaron Rodgers is typically up there for, like, MVP and shit. But this year, I think it's going to be more of a running team. Running, defense, that's going to be their style. That's how they want to win games. Unless Jordan Love shocks the world, so we'll see. The next I have is Ja'Marr Chase. He's set at 10 receiving touchdowns. First of all, I hate the fucking round numbers because he has to get a full fucking... Well, I mean, I guess he has to and all the other... But fuck it, I hate the round numbers. I hate the round numbers. But he's his number's 10. I love Ja'Marr Chase, and... But I think this might be an under, and this is the only under that I have. I really try to avoid unders because I just think that's hate. And I mean, you know, my default's hate, but I mean, I don't want to hate on players that I like, so that sucks. But just the situation, I think he'll have seven touchdowns this season. It's just the fact that Joe Burrow, his health. If he misses any amount of time, it's going to directly impact Ja'Marr Chase. So, I mean, for season-long purposes, it's a gamble, in my opinion. But then there have been some signs that Joe Burrow is going to be okay. So, we'll just have to wait and see. If Joe Burrow's 100% and he starts in all 17 games, and yeah, Ja'Marr Chase is going to shatter this. If Joe Burrow is hobbled or Joe Burrow doesn't, you know, play as many games, or they're just more conservative with Joe Burrow and just decide to run the ball with Joe Mixon, I don't know. But That's my only under. I don't really love it. Unfortunately, I already locked it in. So you have the opportunity to not lock it in. So there you go. Next up, Devontae Smith with the Eagles. His line is 6.5 touchdowns. I think 8 is very doable. He had 7 last year, and I just expect growth with that connection with being with Jalen Hurts for another year. First of all, I'm pretty sure they were at Alabama together. I'm not sure for how long, but, you know, they're at Alabama together. And they, you know, been playing the past two seasons together. I think there's going to be standard growth. Obviously, there's going to be A.J. Brown that's going to affect that as well. But I think that's going to open it up for each other. And for the record, he had 7 touchdowns last season. So we're just asking him to get one more than he did last year. And if he just does exactly what he did last year, he still beats that 6.5. So I think that's very doable. Very, very, very doable. And last but certainly not least, I think this one's another lock, like Justin Fields. Obviously, all these guys have to stay healthy for this shit to happen. But I think this is another lock. George Kittle, over 5.5 receiving touchdowns. I think that he'll have 7. And I was more encouraged. I mean, just having a young quarterback, you know, the old adage, young quarterbacks love tight ends. Brock Purdy, he showed that a lot last season. And I don't think Kyle Shanahan and that 49ers coaching staff really wants Brock Purdy to, I mean, yeah, obviously grow, improve, get better. But in the ways that he's going to be utilized, I think it's going to be, they have no reason to believe what they did last year doesn't work. Again, if you're a 49ers fan, all you needed was a capable quarterback, and you're probably in the Super Bowl. And I mean, I would like to think the Chiefs still would have won, but that defense is crazy. Eagles defense is crazy too, but I don't know. It would have been just as difficult. But another reason why I'm very encouraged by this is last season, George Kittle had 11 touchdowns. Well, 7 of those 11 touchdowns came with Brock Purdy. So when Brock Purdy started, I think he started in, what, week 10, week 11, something? No, I think maybe a little before that, 9 or something like that. Whenever Brock Purdy became the starting quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers, George Kittle got 7 touchdowns. So prior to that, he had 4 touchdowns on the season. Once he got Brock Purdy, he had 7. End of the season with 11. His line is 7. I mean, his line's 5.5. He's going to now have, assuming both players are healthy, a full season with them. I think that's an easy connection. I think George Kittle, I think that's a lot. George Kittle and Justin Fields, in my opinion, they're over on their projections, I think, are fucking locks. Now, I was going to talk about some fantasy, season-long fantasy draft tips, but I was late. Again, like I believe I said in the part one of this, I was supposed to record this earlier, and if I would have, then maybe this would have been beneficial to people that are doing season-long fantasy. But if you're doing season-long fantasy and you haven't drafted yet, first of all, you're smart. You should, if you're doing season-long fantasy, your draft should always be the Wednesday before the season starts. But or you know, Labor Day. Labor Day makes more sense because you get like a day or two to maybe get a trade off or something like that. So okay, that's fine. That's fine. But anything before that, I think is fucking insane. Fucking insane. I guess it's not worth it. No reason to talk about that anymore. I do have a couple of other things. So yeah, there will be another episode this week. So more work for me, but there will be another solo episode out this week. Me and Jeff, assuming all things are still on the table and scheduled, should be getting our episode together. And that should be coming out to y'all again sometime this week. So content's coming. Content's coming. Appreciate y'all for sticking around. Go ahead and, subscribe, rate, whatever platform you listen to. And if you listen on Apple, hey, don't be afraid to go over to Spotify and you ain't even got to stay over there. Just like and subscribe, or subscribe and comment, or in the comment, subscribe and what the fuck? Goddamn, rate the shit. Oh, well, I think you can't leave comments too, but just help out. Interaction, engagement, that's what helps this shit grow. Do I want to say that? Do I really want to say that? Damn, my CT really just kicked the fuck in. I have no idea what the fuck I was going to end this episode with. So, oh, yeah, now I remember. And also, speaking of Spotify, I know it's been a long time. It's been a long, long time, but they changed things and they got me, so I can't do things the way I used to do them. But I think I'm going to have another Spotify exclusive episode coming. I'm trying to summon Drake. So typically whenever I do my Spotify exclusives talking about songs that I've liked and songs that, you know, I'm fucking with thus far this year, you know, my little top 10. Whenever I do an episode, Drake drops not too far behind. So I need to get this episode off. So I'm going to share with y'all the on Spotify. So if you have Spotify, you'll be able to see this episode and hear this episode in its entirety. But I'm going to talk about the music I've been fucking with thus far this year. My top 10. I'm going to share with y'all my top 10 songs thus far this year. Don't expect to be put on to anything new, but there you might be some. There's like two or three songs in there I'm sure people ain't really listening to like that. But yeah, I'm Mainstream Michael, so I'll be back on Spotify. So go ahead and check that out, and appreciate you for listening.